At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Would also like to ask, as a courtesy to all, that you ensure that you have turned off your cell phones and pagers. Each director received notice of this board meeting. The public meeting notice was properly posted as required by law. Directors P.J. Ellison, Suzanne Baker, Fred Lee Hughes, Ron Butler, Mark Carraba, and Jacqueline Chalmette indicated that they would not be present for the meeting. At this time, we've set aside time to hear from you, the general public. Those of you that are interested in providing comments here should fill out one of the cards provided at the table outside the door to the boardroom with your name and contact information on it. We encourage you to speak your mind and tell us your thoughts, but be mindful, however, that while you can say anything you wish, the board cannot deliberate or discuss issues that are not posted on the meeting notice. That is not our requirement in state law. The board is limited in its ability to participate in discussions or deliberations by the provisions of the Open Meetings Act. The Open Meetings Act authorizes a government body to speak, to give members of the public an opportunity to speak at a public meeting and provide comments. However, the board may not deliberate or act on any agenda which has not been specifically, on any matter which has not been specifically posted on the agenda. At this time, I have one card that's been given to me. Is that right? Any others? Mr. Joe Staley.
I guess it's now good afternoon rather than good morning, and I want to tell you that I appreciate the opportunity to address you again and tell you that I've observed with some great interest what happened here today. And I understand the feelings of the board, and I'm not here to argue with you or to take you on or to tell you anything. There are a number of times I felt like jumping out of my seat when some people were saying some things and saying that's not right, but I've restrained myself, and I'm going to do that at this time because I think I'm going to try to let you all understand the law as I understand it. The problem is there's an elephant in the room, and we all don't see it. And the elephant's here. And to pass resolutions to try to get around the elephant aren't going to get the elephant out of the room. The elephant is here because there is a legal process to address these issues if you all don't address them. And trying to dodge those issues doesn't get it done. The elephant is going to stay here. I'd just like to talk about a couple of things, and please understand what I'm reading to you and what I'm telling to you from these cases is not what I say. I'm not a judge, I'm not a court, and I'm not going to present to you anything that are my opinions. What I'm going to try to tell you is what the law is as I understand it, and just read a few things to you, very few, and then I'm going to get out of your hair and see what happens. The first thing is there was a lot of discussion about the fact of the money that was needed from these leases, and that's been addressed already by the courts in regards to lakes such as Possum Kingdom. And it was brought up in the trial, and then the appellate court addressed it, and it says what the River Authority was saying was that they didn't have enough money without charging rents like you are on the land. The court said there is no income to maintain or operate the lake with unless the board of directors can get some money from this adjoining land to pay for personnel, maintenance, and operation of the lake, as well as provide for control for recreational areas and roads around the lake. It is unfortunate that the district finds itself in this financial position, but it is not the obligation or duty of the landowners adjoining the lake to alone provide the revenue for the construction, maintenance, and operation of the lake built by the appellant. That duty falls on all the landowners and taxpayers within the district and not on the few who have land adjacent to the lake. So what the court says is that you built the lake, You didn't have the right to take the property in the first place. And the point of it is that there's no obligation on these people to pay you rent for land adjacent to the lake in order to support it. In addition to that, I just address a couple of issues that have to do with the leases and real quickly. What the court has said insofar as taking those kinds of properties and using them, it has said this: the use which will justify the taking of private property, and you took private property from all these people, a purchase by contract under threat of eminent domain is the same as if you went to trial and took it. Anybody that has the right of eminent domain, when you acquire it, you're acquiring it by eminent domain. So you took all this land by eminent domain. And the elephant in the room is you didn't have the right to do it because your statute doesn't provide you the right to do it, and that's what the elephant is that I read you this morning. You don't have that right. You've got to divest of this property, and what I'm trying to tell you is whether or not you want to be a hypothetical, whether or not you want to be a seller really doesn't matter, because what's going to happen if this thing blows up is that it, and I will give you my opinion now, the courts are going to force you to sell it. And they're going to sell it for fair market value because you can't collect money for what you don't own. And you don't own that lessee's right. And I understand that some people have longer leases than others and going to get paid more or less than others. That's a damage suffered by the public at large, is what the courts say that. That's dominum obsque injuria, if you want the Latin. And the courts say you don't have to pay for that, that you don't have to pay for it. And some people do get more than others. But I was interested in the business deal concept, and that is, you know what's happened? We've made a bad deal, and now we're trying to get somebody to bail us out of it. You all set the rents. Landowners didn't set the rents, and that's what they are. And that establishes the value. And it can't be to go out and now say, well, I made a bad deal. I think I need somebody to save me. And I don't know what those rents are. I haven't even paid any attention to them. I don't know if they're good, bad, or otherwise. Yes, I did lease a place on Costello Island, but I don't anymore. But with that being said, I just really don't know about that, but I can just basing it on what I've said today. So insofar as the taking is concerned, the court says, the use which will justify the taking of private property, which is what you did, under the exercise of the right of eminent domain, is the use by or for the government, the general public, or some portion of it as such, and not the use by or for particular individuals or for the benefit of particular estates. This property was taken and it's benefiting particular individuals because you are leasing it to them. It is not for use by the public. And the court says that you know you can't do that. It also, and one other comment, a public use, which is what you can take it for, is one which concerns the whole community in which it exists, as counter-distinguished from a particular individual or number of individuals. So you can take property for use by the public, but you can't take property under threat of eminent domain and then lease it to people. That's the law. Lastly, and this is the one that I brought up earlier today, an attempt to take property for private benefit, which is what this is, under guise of public benefit, constitutes legal fraud upon the property owner, notwithstanding absence of fraudulent intent. Fraud normally will require intent in order for there to be fraud. And I'm not saying anybody here intended to fraud anybody, and that's what the court says. It's not saying that you intended to fraud anybody. But it's what you call governmental fraud as opposed to personal fraud. It's not like I defrauded you out of some money in a business deal. It has to do with the fact that that's just what the courts call it. So we have that situation, we have that elephant in the room, and I think that we've just dodged around it today, and I'm not sure it gets us anywhere. I would ask again if there's some way to do it. And someone talked about your staff. I'm not criticizing your staff at all, but I'm saying that I would, if I were you and I were a member of this board, ask your staff to address these issues that I've raised. I don't know that they've ever been raised with you. And if they have, then they have. But it seems to me from the comments that I heard that they have not been. So I would say that if, and I represented a state agency for 40 years. So, and I presented those things to my board. As a board member, I would ask them to do that. That's all we're asking. We're asking that you look at what we're saying to you. Don't shove us under the carpet and kick us and step on us. We're people that have been doing business with you for a number of years and provided a lot of money for you. We want what's fair. And we may disagree on what's fair, and that's fine. You know what happens in that situation? The jury determines that if you're going to get down to it. The jury determines that. The jury is going to determine what the value of that property is. And if you're talking about putting it in there and putting some value on it as you want it, that talks about what value you put on it, but who gets the money? The second issue in an eminent domain case is how you if there's a lease on the property, who gets the money? The property may be worth $100,000, but if there's a lease on it, how much does the lessee get and how much does the lessor get? That's the issue that's out there. So I thank you kindly for your attention. I thank you the staff for their attention. And want you to know that my clients are very interested in trying to work with you. We don't want to fight. We want to try to get some kind of an agreement, something that we can all live with. There are a lot of things out there that maybe we can. And Mr. Chairman, I appreciate you letting me speak again.
Thank you, Mr. Staley.
Mr. Chairman, could I just ask for a point of clarification? I'm not clear who your clients are. Could you just tell me who your clients are?
Yeah, I represent the Set Ranch, and then I represent the group that Mr. Best is head of. They have contacted me. I'm not sure exactly what the name of his group is. Joe, what is the name of your group?
The Preservation Association.
Okay, the Preservation Association. They just came to me very recently.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Are there any other citizens who would wish to address the board? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item.